There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Welcome back to the show, into the final hour of The Grill this afternoon. Myself, Chris McCarty, joined by Mark Archer and Carl Van Rosenveld. If I can get my words out, I'm watching two screens. That's what I'm doing. FA Cup quarter-final action, Swansea against Tottenham. And it's an absolute humdinger over in Rome between Italy and Scotland. We'll give you updates on that in just a second. I want to get to the text lines because one or two of you having your say on a couple of the subjects we've been discussing this afternoon. Some interesting points made. I made the point before the break that I am a sporting fan that just seeks knowledge, seeks stats, seeks insight at every turn. On the field of play, whether that be on a basketball court, on a tennis court, on a football field, on a rugby field. That's just the way I am. Now, Peter's been in touch. He says, Chris, you said you want to know more and more as part of your cricket conduct discussion. How do you think that links to the Carragher incident that we discussed last week? Well, it doesn't, in all honesty, Peter, because what Jamie Carragher did, and let's be frank, what the fan did in accosting, harassing, haranguing, whatever word you want to use, both of them are wrong. Fans shouldn't be... I mean, listen, the fan, though,
if you've seen the video, it's like any of us, you know, if you're a Liverpool supporter or a Man United supporter, it's saying, the fan was basically going 2-1, 2-1,
yeah,
Jamie.
That's all he did.
That's what fans do. Yeah. They have banter amongst your team against the other team. But, and that's what he responded to.
And he shouldn't have responded. He should be better than that, should Jamie Carragher, no doubt about that. But I think the point that Carragher made was the fact that he's honking his horn. You know, we're seeing 16 seconds of it. He's chasing them down.
A lot of worse things happen between fans and honking your horn. If you're going to react to it,
absolutely,
then you're not a fan.
And there's nothing... you can't condone what Jamie Carragher... I said it on Monday Night Football. It was absolutely a vile, disgusting act. You shouldn't be spitting. It's the first thing you learn, certainly. It was the first thing that my mother told me, whether it's spitting on the floor. Spitting in someone's face, there's no place for it. Absolutely none. And Jamie Carragher has paid the price for that. He's probably going to be back on our screens over in the UK with Sky Sports at the end of the start of next season. He has been suspended for the remainder of this. But in all honesty, Peter, there is no correlation between those two, because I am saying that within the sporting arena, within the sporting field, I want to know more. It's like an F1. Right now, currently, they have control over what they release, of what the engineers talking to their drivers. I want to see more of that. I want more insight into what is going on between garage and car on the cricket field, the stump mic. I want to hear that because I want to have that choice. And I think Scotland are in again. They are in again. We'll break away from my little diatribe and just to say... Give us an update, Arch.
Yeah, it's Hogg's gone over, the Scottish fullback's gone over to get them right back and to tie up the match. It's 10 minutes to go in Rome. It's the first of the three Six Nations matches that are taking place today, the final round of Six Nations matches. And Stuart Hogg's gone over for his 18th try for Scotland in 60 matches. And what that means, Chris, with 9 minutes to go, it's Italy 24, the team that Carl Van Roosevelt feels should not be part of the Six Nations, tied with Scotland 24. Conversion to come. We'll keep you posted if Lane Law can kick the conversion to take Scotland to a two-point lead with 9 minutes remaining.
Yeah, we might just get over the line. But to go back to it, I'm talking about within the sporting realm. There is no place for fans chasing down, for it happens. It's, of course it does. Jamie Carragher shouldn't have reacted the way he does. But I'm merely saying within the framework of a sport, I am a fan that wants to know more, that wants to get more insight into what is going on.
Yes, that is fine, but don't use it against...
And I wouldn't.
Don't use it against...
Absolutely.
If, for example, you want to know what heartbeat or resting heartbeat Mo Salah's got, for example, whatever the case, that to me is fine. But often what's happening now is I find that people are finding out, us as supporters, especially as media, are finding out what's happening on the field, and then we use it against the person. For example, the Eddie Jones incident. He made those statements 9 months ago. What he said, I'm not condoning, is correct. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying what he said is correct. But he did it 9 months ago. Now that things aren't going well with him, they're trying to throw him under the bus with something he said 9 months ago. Why didn't we bring it out then?
Yeah. What it shows, though, I mean, all that we've talked about, four pretty high-profile individuals today with different things I've said in the media, out of the media, not in the media, things are done. It gives you a little bit of insight to their personalities beyond the media image. We've talked about Jose Mourinho going on. We've known about his antics and his chat with the media for a long time now. But some of the things he said show some insight to his characters. With Jamie Carragher, we've learned something about him. We probably didn't know that he, you know, it's a pretty disgusting thing that
he did. Pretty, it is.
It's
disgusting.
Not. It is, and that just gives us a bit of insight to his off-camera antics. We've talked about
David Warner.
David Warner again. different players, how they perform on the field. David Warner, you know, we've talked about what he said on the field for a long period of time, and then he's a guy that's prepared to give it but not prepared to take it. So we've talked about some of these incidents. Eddie Jones, you know, abrasive Australian coach, says some pretty direct things that are pretty, you know, has some pretty big meaning, whether it be in a sponsors thing 9 months ago or this week. It's not great. It doesn't show them in good light. And we, you know, again, in the media, you build up these personalities. It just shows you a bit more about what you're saying, the true person that these incidents are portraying.
Well, Robbie Greenfield's come in for a lot of stick for comments. You made the joke off air, Carl, that it's clearly been a long couple of months for Robbie because he lost the plot on Thursday night, so he did. I just allowed
maybe
him.
I was being a bit harsh.
No, you weren't at all, because Robbie was merely pointing out that he's fed up with it all. He's a bit, forget me saying that more cameras, more microphones need to be put into the sporting arena. He's just fed up of it all, fed up of all the noise, fed up of the controversy. And whilst, you know, I'm sticking up for Robbie here, saying that he didn't condone anything that has been said, but I think the expression he said, there's so much noise out there, there's so much tedious noise. And, you know, I made the point to Robbie, but it is important, they are such high profile individuals that if they do step out of line away from the sporting arena, in the case of an Eddie Jones, in the case of a Jamie Carragher, then those issues have to be brought to light, because they are high profile individuals, they have a large sway on young and old. And if they do step out of line, if they are doing something that is simply not accepted in any other walk of life, then that should be highlighted. Robbie was saying, yes, okay, do that with the major incidences, but there's an awful lot now of issues that are cropping up with it. He's making the point, and again, this isn't me saying this before the deluge of texts coming, he's making the point that there are now just too much indiscretions that really it's a matter of opinion. It's a matter of opinion that are now front and centre in the news, and these guys are being set up to be brought
down.
That's
what we talked about earlier. Where is the line? Where is
what
is
Peter's
over
asking.
Line?
Yeah. He said that exact question. Where should the public/private line be? And that's a very good point. And it's a point, you know, we spoke to Jez Aguskett about this last night, and he was very honest and said, you've just got to be that much more careful. In the case of Eddie Jones, and come on, boys, we've all been at after-dinner speaking events, whether it's high-profile sportsmen or not. Things are said. It's a much more relaxed environment. Now, I'm not for one second accusing anyone of overstepping a mark in terms of the comments that Eddie Jones made. But come on, we all know that there's colourful language used. There's stories that wouldn't be able to air on national airwaves. That's just part and parcel of what's going on. We'd be incredibly naive and ignorant to think that isn't going on.
I fully agree with what you're saying, Chris. And as we say that, Italy once again back in the lead. Fantastic penalty there. Italy 27, Scotland 26, just over 4.5 minutes to play. But I think there's two different things. What I'm saying is what Eddie Jones said is not right. What Jamie Carragher did was absolutely disgusting. It's shocking. But what I'm saying is when we start the Australian South African cricket incident, I'm starting to say that we are starting to affect the way the game has been played for many and many a years, because all of a sudden now we can hear what players are saying to each other, and that might start affecting the way players perform. So for example, like Rabede, all of a sudden now he might not start playing his natural type of game because he's scared of what people hear on the stump mic, of the way people might react to him after the game because of something that they heard. And to me, that's what I want to stop.
So essentially what you're saying, Carl, there is language used, psychological warfare, call it what we will, there is language being used in any sport that is trying to get into the head. What we're saying is there's language used and things said that are not PC, and that if we picked up everything, there would be an avalanche of reports banning this individual, banning that individual.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So I'm saying what happens between the four white lines, or whatever you want to call it in your sport, leave it between those white lines.
And you've got to put both these different incidents into sort of different categories. What happened with David Warner and De Kock and these guys was on the field, and Rabada. It's on the field. It's part of the game. Whether we like it or not, it's part of the game. It's part of the game for a while. Jamie Carragher and Eddie Jones, that's off the field. That's almost in their own time, in their own, you know, away from the sporting front. You know, and if you look at those incidents, albeit you can play them down or build them up, Eddie Jones made racist comments. against the Irish and the Scots and the Welsh nations. That, I mean, they can be portrayed. In this day and age of political correctness, they were racist comments. Jamie Carragher on the other hand did something pretty disgusting. He could have been arrested. There was a police investigation into what he did there for the spitting incident. So again, whether you like them or don't like them, slightly different incidents had to be taken in different, slightly different ways.
I think they're all three different, because, and I'm not going to defend Eddie Jones at all here, but you don't know in what context it was said. Because often I can make a joke with you and say, oh, you filthy Scotsman, or you call me a cheap sap, or whatever the case is. We have a bit of banter. So I'm just saying, from Eddie Jones' perspective, I don't really know in what context that was said. I'm not condoning what he was said is right at all. I'm not saying it is. But I'm just saying, Chris, I find the Eddie Jones scenario, we need to know a little bit more about it before we actually make a final call. Jamie Carragher, it's out and out a big no-no.
It is clear. You know, that being said, the gentleman who is filming Jamie Carragher is breaking the law himself. He's got his 14-year-old daughter by his side. He is driving down a road, a motorway as it was reported, a road, and he's filming. That in itself is, you got to question his morals, you got to question what he's looking for, but that's the day and age, the social media day and age. It's about making noise, it's about getting yourself seen, about getting yourself heard, and that is not condoning what Jamie Carragher has done. There are two schools of thought on this. I know an awful lot of people that have leapt to the defence of Jamie Carragher, pointing out that that's not in his character, or certainly hasn't been in the past. I know Jonathan Northcroft, the chief football writer who we had on Monday Night Football, knows Jamie very well, said he admitted he was shocked, surprised, and he said that that isn't the Jamie character that he's gotten to know in 20 years. But something in Jamie snapped. I'm not condoning him. That is a disgusting act. It is a vile act. He's been dealt with. It will be interesting to see moving forward whether he has long-time employment at Sky Sports.
I want to stop you right there, Chris, and we'll come back to it, but we've just seen Greg Lainlaw kick a penalty from about 25 metres out. With 1 minute remaining, it means that Scotland lead Italy by 2 points now in the final minute of this first Six Nations Test match. Italy have the ball from the kickoff and they're hot on attack. Scotland 29, Italy 27, 1 minute remaining. We've just seen a knock-on. That could be the crucial knock-on here. It'll burn up another 30 seconds. It'll go to scrum. Can something happen at this final scrum of this this first match today in the Six Nations Championship? Can Italy force a scrum penalty? So there's 50 seconds remaining. Scrum, Scotland feed, midfield in the Scottish half.
We're just going to stick with this because the full-time whistle is 30 seconds away. Scotland just need to produce a big scrum here, get the ball out, kick it into touch, and they will have scraped through this one, because it's been a real test for Gregor Townsend and his men. It's been a real good appetizer, I think, for the big one. We are less than half an hour away from England against Ireland at Twickenham. Joe Schmidt and his men going for what would be just a third Grand Slam. 1948, 2009, can they add 2018 to that list? What an incredible achievement that would be for the Irish. We're into the final 10 seconds or so over in Rome. Scotland have been pulled through this afternoon by the kicking of Greg Laidlaw, by a massive performance in this second half. The ball is out. We're into stoppage time here. They just need to kick it out. They have done... Oh, they've done just that. Scotland victorious over in Rome. In fact, yeah, that is the full-time whistle. Italy 27, Scotland 29. We'll have reaction to that and we'll continue our build-up to the big one. It is England against Ireland.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai iSport.
If you are just joining us, and if you have been joining us all afternoon, then thank you very much, as always, for your company. Chris McCarty, Carl Van Roosevelt and Mark Archer with you. We've been debating some of the big talking points of the past week, namely Kagiso Rabada, Jamie Carragher as well, and his antics. What about Tiger Woods, who is playing himself into form ahead of the Masters at the start of April? And we're building up to the big one. It is the finale, the big one that will determine whether Ireland can win yet another Grand Slam, whether England will suffer 3 6 defeats. It is England against Ireland over at Twickenham. There is a result to bring you from Rome, and the flower of Scotland will be bellowing loud from Rome to Edinburgh this evening, Archie.
Yeah, only just. It was a penalty with 2 minutes remaining by Greg Lainlaw, the Scottish scrum half, that got Scotland the victory. They trailed pretty much for all of the match until that final 2 minutes, but that final penalty means that Scotland have defeated Italy 29 points to 27. 4 tries for Scotland. Stuart Hogg, Sean Maitland, John Barclay and Fraser Brown with the 4 tries for Italy. Two tries to Tommaso Allan and Matteo Mazzotti with the three tries for Italy. But a win there for Scotland, 29 points to 27. Depending on the result at Twickenham today, Scotland may finish third in the Six Nations Championship, which would be a great result for them.
Yeah, good result that. They beat, what did they do, England at Murrayfield, they beat France at Murrayfield, they've went on the road to beat Italy in Rome, unfortunately defeat in their opener against Wales, and they were handed it to them by the Irish last weekend. Ireland far too good for them over in Dublin. Over the pitch though, given the fact, three wins, two defeats, we've beaten the English as well. I think we'll move on from that one and take great heart from it. The World Cup is, of course, 18 months away. Let us put you in the picture with what is going on. Super Rugby, it started up a few weeks back, a couple of belter games this afternoon.
Yeah, Chris, what I can tell you is currently live, the Stormers are taking on the Blues down in Cape Town. And I tell you what, it's been a very impressive performance from the Stormers. They are leading the Blues 31-15, 61 minutes played. But you can never write off the Blues. We saw what they did to the Lions last week, coming back in those last 15 minutes. So the Stormers defensively will have to be organized. In the top 14, it's a big, big Paris derby. It's Racing 92 taking on Stade Français. 24 minutes played. The score's there, 7-all.
I'll just give you a result from the Emirates FA Cup a little earlier today. The early kickoff, it was Swansea against Tottenham. This is the opening quarter-final match of the weekend. Manchester United against Brighton, the late kickoff this evening at 11:45. Wigan taking on Southampton. Leicester against Chelsea tomorrow afternoon. But what I can tell you is that Tottenham have booked their spot, the first team to book their spot in the last four. A convincing and comfortable 3-0 win for Spurs over Swansea at the Liberty Stadium a little earlier today. Two goals from Christian Eriksen, Eric Lamella as well, Spurs in cruise control. There was one or two little scary moments for them over the piece though, dominating the match, dominating the chances count as well. Far too good for a Swansea side that will now concentrate on ensuring that they are a Premier League team come the start of next season. There are four games from the Premier League to keep an eye on from 7 p.m. this evening. It's Bournemouth taking on West Brom. It's Huddersfield taking on Crystal Palace. Incidentally, Huddersfield against Crystal Palace is our featured match on Dubai 103.8. Full commentary coming your way from 7. Stoke, they're up against Everton. Stoke currently second bottom. West Brom, incidentally, you've got to feel that they will need to win against Bournemouth today if they are to have any chance of climbing out of the bottom three. They are a long way short, just bottom, plummeting to the Championship as things stand. They'll need a performance for Alan Pardew this evening, the late kickoff, and it is another match, featured match on Dubai 103.8. It sees Liverpool, who will take on Manchester City, let us not forget, in that last day of the UEFA Champions League. They're up against Watford, and then that late kickoff again, another match. It is a busy old day on Dubai 103.8. 11:45, FA Cup quarter-final. It is Manchester United taking on Brighton. There is a result to bring you as well from the Championship. I did tell you a little earlier on, Fulham look to be cruising to yet another victory in their pursuit of an automatic qualification spot from the Championship, but they've been pegged back by their West London rivals QPR. It's Fulham 2, QPR 2. Fulham did lead through Tom Kearney, the Scott international. Lucas Piazon, the former Chelsea midfielder, doubled their advantage, but Massimo Luongo, the man that will be probably in that Australia squad at the FIFA World Cup, he pulled one back from them just before half-time, and then just 9 minutes from full-time, it was Pavel Wosielek, the Polish striker, who has rescued a point for QPR. In the other match that's kicked off early in the Championship, it's Barnsley 0, Millwall 2. So that brings you bang up to date with the early kickoffs in English football. We are, what, 20 minutes or so away from what will be a matchup that has everyone tuned in. Barasti is jam-packed. I'm looking down there to the big screen. A lot of Irish are in this afternoon. A lot of English, I'm sure, are hiding out as well. The Irish are out and proud. It is St. Paddy's Day weekend, of course, and they'll be looking for their side to put a seal on what has been a fantastic campaign. It would be a famous win. Will they get it?
Carl, yeah, it's going to be very, very tough for the Irish this afternoon. Of course, they're playing at Fortress Twickenham, with England having to prove a lot. England have made wholesale changes to their team for this afternoon. What I can tell you is Owen Farrell is back in at fly half, with Richard Wigglesworth starting his first England test match at the age of 34. Of course, the Saracens combination. George Crace comes in at lock. And, of course, that new look, loose trio for England this afternoon. Chris McCarty, it's going to be a tough, tough road for England. And as you say, they want to avoid losing three in a row. But I kind of fancy them at Twickenham this afternoon against the Irish.
You, Arch, do you fancy?
I think that England might just use that home advantage to get over the line. I don't see much in it. I think maybe by the try. Again, we talked about at the start of the show, Eddie Jones under pressure, three consecutive losses would be a massive blow to England's aspirations to be the best team in the world, as Eddie Jones consistently reminds us, and also their World Cup aspirations. And then for Joe Smith, it's been a great campaign for them. They have won three of the four matches at home in Dublin in the comforts of that. Can they go to Twickenham and win on St. Paddy's Day? It'll all get underway very shortly. Big crowd down here at Barasti. If you're looking for somebody to watch the rugby this afternoon, get on down to Barasti. Wear your white jersey if you're an England supporter. Wear your green jersey if you're supporting Ireland. It's going to be packed. A lot of great atmosphere building here down at Barasti.
Certainly is. A lot of text coming on in. No name on this one. 8812. An awful lot of this I cannot read out on national radio, unfortunately. But let me try and get through it. We're talking about conduct. We're talking about sportsmen and women following, a line, towing the party line, but doing it in a way that, doesn't offend this individual. Not happy at all. Goes on to say, men have been turned into, a word I can't repeat, this is a joke. These are men with pumping adrenaline off course. They will definitely say things on the field. Microphones have no place in sport to hear what is said. I disagree. I think if you've got a thick skin, you can have an option whereby you should be able to listen to that. If you're not easily offended, give you the option. I'm not easily offended, therefore I appreciate industrial language is used. Therefore I want to hear. I want to hear the psychology of it all. This individual goes on to say, let them play rough and hard if needed and leave this, again, word can't use, stuff for the playground. I also hear the commentators on your station. Come on, guys, what are you prim and proper little gentlemen? ? You know, I know, we all know it's part of the game. Stop following a goody-goody boy script. I'm not, but there doesn't matter. And be men. Tell us the truth and tell us how this stuff happens. If sportsmen that cry have no place on the field. So essentially he's saying there that we've all got to be mentally robust and that this stuff goes on and you've just got to accept it.
I think where I can agree with that listener, and this is basically what I've said early on in the show, that I think what's happened between the four white lines or whatever field you play on, let's leave it there, because I don't want, for example, a listener hearing something and then, for example, using it against a player in the future. I don't think that's right, because as you say, sports is heated, things get said on the field, and often that don't get meant. And I kind of think that us as viewers have sometimes got too much participation in the game. And I'll bring you back to a scenario where it was Lexi Thompson that I think won the US Open for women, because some viewer saw her supposedly move her ball when she was marking it. She got deducted two shots because he phoned in, and obviously she lost it. And I don't think that supporters should be so involved in sports. But coming back to your point, if you want to listen to it, listen to it. If you don't want to listen to it, don't listen to it. But don't use it against the player.
I'm with you on that front. Don't use it against them. What I am saying, though, is that I think it would be wrong of us to say that there isn't a line that can be crossed, because there is. There are obviously language used. There is some personal stuff out there. You've got to be big enough to accept it. But there are things that are said that do cross a line. There's no doubt about that. And that goes to say, in any walk of life, there are things that can be said. Of course, it's water off a duck's back, but there are things that are said that there is no place for it. And I can think of some personal attacks that we've heard of, whether it's losing a family member, whether it's, in the case of David Warner, it's about his wife, that, you know, there are some things that you have crossed the line with, and that's where we can only put trust in the sportsmen and women, that they know their line to cross. But it comes back to your point, Mark Archer, for some people the line is there, and for others it's over there. So it's very difficult to get a uniform kind of system in place, because that line and where crossing it differs for each and every one of us.
Yeah, and people grow up differently in different sporting environments. They come from, the great thing about why we love sport is it brings people together from different nations and different cultures with different personalities, with different beliefs. And then it becomes very blurry because people grow up, I mean, sledging in Australian sport, it comes from a very young age. It's part and parcel of being Australian and playing cricket. It's there in every form of the game, whether you be a social over 40 player playing fifth grade cricket, they sledge. It's the way it is. And it's part of their thing. You go to some of the subcontinent countries, and again, trying to sort of stereotype different individuals and different nations, but it's probably not as culturally prevalent as it is in other countries. And so it's tough to define when you're in a sport, when the boundaries get crossed. And for many of the reasons we love sport, it's for many reasons that then make it very grey and who's right or who's wrong and where that line is.
But what I'm saying is if Chris and myself have a football game or a rugby game against each other this afternoon, we're going to go at each 100%, and I say something about his girlfriend that he didn't like or whatever the case is, it's not for a supporter to get involved and give his opinion on it. Me and you need to sort that out, may it be on the field, may it be off the field. But I don't want me being mic'd up saying something about your girlfriend, which half the world thinks is the correct thing to say, the other half of the world thinks it's the incorrect thing to say, and all of a sudden I get labelled as XYZ. So I'm saying those type of comments, keep it between the four lines, because I believe players nowadays are mature enough to sort it out between themselves. If they can't sort it out between themselves, there's disciplinary committees and tribunals and all types of things that they can go to.
You're a big lad, Carl. You say what you want, my man. I ain't messing with you, that's for sure. But it is an interesting debate. No real right and wrong answer to it. I think we all agree, though, that in this day and age, with social media, etc., everything is blown up to an nth degree. Political correctness has taken over. And if you step out of line, you better be prepared for the consequences, because everyone has an opinion. And as you come back to what you said, some people will say it's just part and parcel of sport, the psychological warfare. Others will say, whoa, there's no place for it. That is just the debate. That is just, I guess, one side of the coin. I'm of the opinion that, listen, I think I want to see more of it. I am thick-skinned. I can understand what is in a sporting realm. There will be those out there that completely disagree with that viewpoint. Keep your thoughts coming in on 4001. When we come back, we're hurtling towards kickoff over at Twickenham. We're also counting down to kickoffs in the Premier League and across Europe as well. Stay tuned.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Yeah, we're just over 5 minutes away from kickoff at Twickenham. It is England taking on Ireland in the big rugby Six Nations clash of the day. If you are just joining us, Scotland just getting over the line over in Rome, a 29 points to 27 victory over the Azzurri of Italy. Just very quickly, want to put you in the picture of some local sport. Massive congratulations to the Dubai Dragons for winning the AFL Middle East yesterday, defeating the Multiplex Bulls. That's Matt Byrne and his lot, so congratulations, Matt. If you are listening, they are, for the fourth successive year, AFL Middle East champions. And a massive congratulations as well to the Dubai Barracudas, because they won the Desert Bowl in the Emirates American Football League yesterday. They beat the Abu Dhabi Wildcats by 19 points to 0. So that just puts you in the picture of some local sport. The players are on their way out at Twickenham. There will be some passionate renditions of the national anthems over at Twickenham. Twickenham is, well, it's decked out in its red. It is a full house, as you can expect, and we're just seeing the pictures of Rory Best, the man that is captaining Ireland to what he will hope is a famous, famous victory. It would secure Mark Archer only a third Grand Slam for the famous Ireland.
Yeah, let's bring you some team news from Joe Smith's camp. Of course, Rory Best is the skipper there. Ian Henderson has been restored to the team, replacing Devon Toner in the only change. He'll take his place in the second row there. And that's the only changes they've had to make, which means they're a very settled side. They've got great combinations there. For Joe Smith, good news that Peter O'Mahony, Rob Carney and Kian Healy have all shaken off injuries to replace their places in the squad. We just talked about Rory Best. The teams are lining up for the anthem. Let's just listen to Rory Best's comments during the week about the importance of this match at Twickenham.
Does this feel very different than 09?
For me personally, yeah, look, it does. There's a little bit more pressure, and there's always more pressure when you start. Then there's a little bit more pressure probably when you're captain as well. But in 09, when you're on the subs bench, you don't know if you're going to come on the first minute, the 40th, the 79th, if you're going to come on at all. So there's all that unknown, whereas I think to be here and getting ready to start this game, you know by and large what your role is going to be right up to the kickoff. You don't know what's going to happen after that. You have to try to treat it like just another game. But I think everyone's aware of the significance it has for Irish rugby and this group of players. But yeah, there's nervous energy, but it's also very, very exciting, because you want to pit yourself against the best teams. And you want to put yourself against the best teams in the Northern Hemisphere, and you want to put yourself in a position to win things. We've done, by and large, a lot of that now. We've obviously won the championship. We put ourselves against four of the top teams in the Northern Hemisphere, and now we have an opportunity to come here and pit ourselves against what has been, over the last couple of years, the best team in the Northern Hemisphere. So it's a massive challenge for us, and it is one that we're really excited about. But look, obviously, when you play in big games, you get nervous, and that's what there is at the minute.
And after watching England lose two games in a row, what kind of backlash are you expecting from them?
England are a quality side. I think anyone that disputes that, it's madness. You know, if you look what they've done over the last couple of years under Eddie Jones, and especially here, you know, they've yet to lose here under him, and I've played here a few times and I know how tough it's going to be anyway, and this place is a big fortress, you know, and there's no point trying to hide away from that. It's a massive challenge for us because they pack so many people in, they're very passionate, and like most teams, England get a lift from that, and it's going to be a challenge for us to make sure that we get ourselves a position to quiet the crowd, and we get the Irish, some of which I'm sure will wander down the road from Cheltenham, and we get as many of them standing on their feet as we can, and the only way to do that is for us to perform and be big in the game. But for me, there'll be nothing more special than the opportunity to lift the trophy as captain of Ireland, and you know, it's something that obviously growing up didn't get to witness very often, and to be in this opportunity now to have been part of three teams now that have won silver in that green jersey, to now to be capped with that. Look, it'll be really, really special. It'll be special for me and obviously all of my family and close friends. And yeah, look, at that proposition really excites you, but it's like everything else. You got to just always bring it back to how do we get there? And it is about making sure we prepare, but it is ultimately about making sure that we perform.
That is the Ireland skipper, Rory Best, there. We just saw him in tears, I think. He was welling up as he sang the national anthem. It is an emotional occasion. Each individual, you've played the game, Carl, each individual has their different patterns that they go into to ensure that they are ready, because this today is an absolute war.
Yeah, it's going to be huge out there, Chris. And we saw a little bit earlier in the change room, some guys are listening to music, other guys are reading books. So you do what you need to. But, you know, I don't think they'll need any motivation for this occasion. They're trying to repeat something for the third time. Obviously, what has been said by Eddie Jones in the media this week about Ireland, they don't need any more motivation. And then you've got the other side of the spectrum where England, it's a must win for them. Because I tell you what, if they'd only win this afternoon, you would think, or everybody would be saying, England rugby's in dire straits. Is Eddie Jones the man for the 2019 World Cup? A lot of question marks will be asked. So it's going to be a humdinger down at Twickenham today.
One man, one pundit, one former World Cup winner for England, Will Greenwood, has been commenting in the media that England have kind of lost their way. They've struggled to score tries. They're not winning around the breakdown area, which has affected their back play. Just listen to his comments during the week in the build-up to this match.
Clearly the breakdown is becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy, in that now opposition have smelled blood at a team that they've long sought in the last 2 years, and they've found a way to get after them. I think it's highlighted at the moment that England are lacking a little bit of dynamism, a little bit of zip, a little bit of enjoyment. It looks a little bit like they are under pressure as a squad. The interesting stat for me, an enjoyable England team when they were beating the world were in and around contact, offloading. Yeah. I'll throw a question back at you that is a pre-prepared question. How many offloads did England forwards make in the Test match in Paris? One in the 76th minute.
Right.
One offload. So which means if you're the opposition, you know what's coming round the corner. We had an attacking line out. We went one out ball carrier, six phases, turnover in the corner. There's no imagination. And what that comes from, I don't necessarily think that comes there being told to do that. Mm-hmm. When you're in Paris and the pressure comes on and you think, I mustn't make an error, mm-hmm. you become inward. They have to release those shackles at Twickenham and get that ball moving. Otherwise, they will be sitting ducks.
Sitting ducks from Will Greenwood. Strong stuff there. Always respect his opinion. A very good broadcaster is Will Greenwood, a 2003 World Cup winner as well. We are underway at Twickenham. I'm conscious, boys, I've not got a prediction from either of you. I'll start with you, CVR. Early stages of this one, still no score. Who wins it for you?
I reckon England will take it. I think they will redeem themselves. I like the look of Farrell back at five with Wigglesworth there at nine. So, yeah, I'm going England by three.
For you, Archie?
I'm going to go England by a try. For me, the only difference between, well, a couple of differences between the teams, I think home advantage is massive. Playing in their environment where they're very tough to beat, Fortress Twickenham will play its part. But big difference between the two teams. I still think if I had to, the coaching of Joe Smith, he tactically just gets it right with that personnel in Ireland time and time again. And that combination, the fly half, halfback combination of Conor Murray and Johnny Sexton to key. But I think England just have enough to win this at home, just enough.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one as well. It's a full house. Sorry, Ireland fans, if you are listening. It will probably be wrong We're often wrong.
I've been wrong in every single prediction, so don't look into anything I say.
We are often wrong on this show, but yeah, I'm with you guys as well. I just think at home advantage, England are coming off the back of a couple of tough weeks. They need a victory today. And I know the Grand Slam's important, but the key for me is they've already won at Ireland, and that little 1% intensity, that little drop-off can make all the difference on a rugby pitch. I think the other thing that we're not discussing, Jonathan Joseph and Ben Teo, I like that as a centre combination as well. Wigglesworth and Farrell in at his best position at fly half, I think that makes a difference. The kicking game of England, I think that makes a difference.
It changes the team though, because you've got two runners there, yeah. And Joseph and Teo. You haven't got your ball players, you haven't got your playmaker. But again, if you're not winning the breakdown, if you're not getting go forward ball, it doesn't matter who your playmaker is, because you're not getting the opportunity on the front foot. So what Eddie Jones says, we need to win the breakdown, we need to get the ball going forward, and Owen Farrell can be the playmaker at 10. But if it doesn't go well for him, what are the options? Where is his playmaker options if Ireland can really play this great kicking chase game? But let's wait and see. It's 2.5 minutes gone. It's pretty even to boot so far. But England have possession inside the Irish half.
Yeah, 3 minutes gone. We'll keep you an eye on that one. We are with you for the next 15 minutes. We will be then crossing to our partners over at TalkSport. It is live coverage of Huddersfield against Crystal Palace in the Premier League. That's then followed by Liverpool taking on Watford. And in an added bonus for you this evening, it is Manchester United taking on Brighton in the Emirates FA Cup quarter-final. I've got to throw in Emirates, their sponsors, they pay a lot of money to throw that in. Emirates FA Cup quarter-final match, that one coming your way at 11:45. When we come back, we're wrapping up things down here. I'm conscious as well, we've not discussed a certain Roger Federer, 36 years of age, and he is still going strong. The man is into the last four at Indian Wells. We'll tell you how he's got there when we come back.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
Straight to Twickenham we go. We could have a try early doors in this big one. It is England against Ireland, Mark Archer.
Yeah, we're currently waiting for a decision from the TMO. 5 minutes gone at Twickenham. It's a high up and under kick. It's been fumbled by Anthony Watson. The big question is, did he force the ball in goal for a 22 dropout, or did he drop it and then it's been recovered and scored by the Irish centre? So we're waiting for a TMO decision. It's a yes or no try situation here. Did he force the ball cleanly? Did he not force the ball?
I think that's a try.
I don't think he had any control of that one, to be honest. If I was the referee, I'd give a try to Ireland.
So we're just waiting for that decision to come from the TMO. So it was a high up and under. Anthony Watson's gone up for the catch. He's fumbled it. He's kind of forced it, but did he have control? We're waiting for a TMO decision. Try, yes or no. And here comes the decision.
We'll await for that, and it's a lot of Irish fans packed in at Barafsay this evening. The roar will be audible, I'm sure, if the ref, he is from South Africa, he's down your neck of the woods, Carl. Is he giving it? He is, I thought he would. Ireland jumped to an early lead then, 5 minutes on the clock at Twickenham, a conversion to come. It could very well be England 0, Ireland 7.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on England, and as you say, a fantastic use once again of the up and under there. Irish have obviously studied Anthony Watson. He wasn't too well positioned, he seemed like he had his back up against it, just didn't quite get up in the air. Chris McCarty get that clean catch, but as you say, fantastically executed there by the Irish. They go into a 5-0 lead with, of course, the ever-consistent Johnny Sexton to convert this one. It should be 7-0 to the Irish with just 5 minutes played.
Yeah, Johnny Sexton will line this one up. Decent angle from him. You'd expect him to get that. I just want to break away from the rugby, if I can. Look ahead to a big night over at Indian Wells men's semi-final. It is the ATP 1000 event, the Paribas Open over at Indian Wells. Roger Federer taking on the 21-year-old Croat Borna Coric, and it's Milos Raonic taking on a rejuvenated Juan Martin Del Potro. And I can tell you, Johnny Sexton.
Yeah, he's converted that one, no question about it, as you say, Chris, 7-0. But coming back to the tennis, Roger Federer, what can this man do wrong? He's been fantastic in sensational form. And you know what? His win against Hyeon Chung, who's one of the up-and-coming youngsters. Yep. There's been a lot of talk about this youngster, Chris. And in all honesty, to me, Federer just adapted so much better to the conditions. Quite a bit of wind blowing that night. Beat him 7-5, 6-1 to set up, of course, that semi-final against Borna Coric, who beat the South African Kevin Anderson 6-2, 4-6, 7-6.
This will give you an insight into how sad my life is. The alarm went off earlier this morning so that I could watch, not it live, just a repeat of Roger Federer against Hyung Chung. I watched it, and I've got to say, and I've been saying this for a while now, Roger Federer is playing as good now as he ever has. He is serving magnificently. He's moving so well. You know what? It's confidence. The man is oozing confidence. He's moved now to 16-0 in 2018. I'd expect them, as good as Borna Coric has been this week over in Indian Wells, I expect them to win that. Where he might come a cropper, where he will be tested, is if I'm expecting Juan Martín Del Potro to get past Milos Raonic. Del Potro's been playing some beautiful tennis himself. That will be a test for Roger. That all being said, his backhand's rock solid. The forehand, his movement, his serve. Roger Federer's looking so good.
Question for you then, as a Federer fan, looking ahead to the other Grand Slams of the year, does he play France, and if so, does he win it, or does he focus on Wimbledon to really add to his tally?
I got told last week that Roger Federer is keeping an eye on Rafa Nadal. I will put it to you, if Rafa Nadal doesn't make the French Open, then there's a chance that Roger, I was going to say tees it up, he's not playing golf, but dusts out the racket and plays the French. He missed the whole clay court season last year to preserve his body. It is hugely taxing, as we know, the clay courts. He went, I think he took 3 weeks off. He then introduced himself to the grass courts, played Halle, then moved on to Wimbledon. He's at a time in his career where he's mindful of what everyone else is doing. And I will put it to you, Mark Archer, if Rafa Nadal fails to get fit for the French Open, I think you'll see Roger play one warm-up tournament, perhaps Rome, and then you'll see him at Roland Garros.
I hear what you're saying. I just think that beyond Rafa Nadal on clay, as you said it there, it's taxing. And I think there's probably a number of players who are clay court specialists that on their day could get Federer. As good as he is, I think he should just focus on Wimbledon.
I'm with Mark on this one, and I think, you know, he's ultimately the greatest player that's ever played the game. He's ultimately the greatest grass court player that's played the game. And to me, he's got a much better chance of winning Wimbledon. Look, yeah, let's be honest, Roger's in fantastic form at the moment, but also the guys that normally challenge him are injured, which he's playing into his own hands. And I think he's a lot more vulnerable on clay than what he is on grass.
No doubt about that. Absolutely none whatsoever. We saw him at this stage last year. He won Indian Wells. He then went down to Miami, won that, and we didn't see him put himself in cold storage until Halle, which is the tournament that comes before Wimbledon. He may well follow that exact same, I guess, blueprint from last year. What I'm saying is, from what I'm hearing, if, and he's mindful of who's fit and who's doing what, if he sees an opportunity to add another French Open, and we're dissing Roger as if to say that clay's not his surface. It is his surface. He's come up against the immovable object in Rafa Nadal.
True.
Take Rafa Nadal out of the equation. Roger Federer is no dud on clay. He's a fine clay player, clay court player. So watch this space on that one. No doubt about it, though, he is playing some fine, fine tennis at this moment in time, as is Daria Kazatkina. A massive congratulations to her. We saw her in the final of the Dubai Jury Free Tennis Championship a few weeks ago. She knocked out Venus Williams over at Indian Wells.
You've just mentioned the name that I wanted to say. It seems to be the older you get in the career, the better you get, because Venus Williams once again came through, and she's been absolutely fantastic.
She has been, but she's out. She's been knocked out by Daria Kazatkina over there. Watch this space with Kazatkina. What a bubbly personality she is, and she's got the tennis game to boot. We are out of time. It's been another 3 hours done and dusted here on the grill. Before we go, Mark Archer, just put the listeners in the picture. England, Ireland.
Yeah, let me just confirm the try score for Ireland. 10 minutes gone at Fortress Twickenham. England 0, Ireland 7. The try scorer was Gary Ringrose, the centre for Ireland. He capitalised on an Anthony Watson fumble from an up and under. He was the man with the hand to force the try. Johnny Sexton made the conversion. So it's Joe Smith's men in green on St. Paddy's Day. Ireland 7, England 0. 10 minutes gone at Twickenham.
That is it done. Commentary from TalkSport on the way from our relegation six-pointer in the English Premier League. It is Huddersfield Town against Crystal Palace. For now, though, Mark Archer, as always, my man, thank you very much.
Good to see you, and I'll see you this week for Sports Tonight.
Yes, no, Robbie Greenfield.
I'll have to grow my beard to be one-and-a-half bearded man.
You will need to start growing that beard. I don't think you've sprouted a beard ever in your life, so you've got 2 days to do it. Carl Van Roosevelt, thank you.
Yeah, I hope he's got better luck with his beard than with his hair. But, yeah, absolutely. As you say, Chris McCarty, come on, Roger Federer, make it another fantastic week.
Absolutely, and let's watch this space with Tiger Woods as well. From myself, Chris McCarty, from the team as well, Benji, Hector, Elaine, back in studio. A big thank you to all of them for keeping us on the airwaves this evening. And, as always, a massive thank you to all, each and every one of you, for tuning in. Huddersfield, Crystal Palace on the way. The party has started down here. If you are at a loose end, pop on down to Barasti. England, Ireland is on the big screen. This one shaping up to be an absolute belter. From all of us here, good night.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.